It's always good to see you, Rowdy Rockers, tonight. I got a question for you tonight, all right? I want you to think about this, and I need your feedback. So here's what you need to remember. Mark@rockthechurch.com. That's how I need you to answer this question, and I need your answer, okay? I want your feedback on this very, very, very important question. We have been pondering for 3.5 years now whether or not to change the night the Rock meets on. And the night that we're seriously thinking of moving the Rock to as of January 1st is Friday night at 8 o'clock. Now, the reasons that we've been thinking of doing that are a couple. Number one, we've had a number of people tell us, not in the thousands, but 10, 15 people tell us, that Saturday night is a hard night to get their friends to come because more of their friends party on Saturday night than on Friday night. Secondly, people have told us it's the middle of my weekend. Sometimes I'm a student. I go home. If it was on a Friday night, I'd come to the service, then drive home. Third, it would give you the entire weekend, all day Saturday and all day Sunday. Fourth, the reason we're doing it at 8 o'clock instead of earlier in the evening is so that you have the opportunity to go home, unwind a little bit, eat something, and come. But being the age that you are, the party didn't really begin on Friday. It's still 10:30 anyway, and you'll be up till 1 a.m. or 3. The fifth reason is because we need our band and our production people who actually, you don't know this, but they never practice. They all practice at home alone, and then they show up 2 hours before this meeting, run through everything, and then perform it. And so we're going to have a little dinner for them downstairs every week at about 5:30 or 6 while the crew's setting stuff up. They'll eat together. We'll have little toiletry bags for them in the little storage bin. They'll go downstairs, get cleaned up, and then we'll be ready to start the meeting. And that's why it's 8 instead of 7:30. So what I need is your feedback. Do you like the idea? Are you ambivalent to the idea? That means I could go either way. It doesn't matter to me. And some of you are strongly opposed. It's a stupid idea. Where did you ever come up with that idea? So, www.mark@rockthechurch.com. I need your answer as soon as possible. And don't be afraid to give me your reasonings, okay? So, yes, I like Friday. No, I don't like Saturday. Or no, I don't like Friday. I'd rather be Saturday. Or, doesn't matter to me. Okay? Is that clear? Everybody's got that? All right. On the program, if you walk out tonight and you take it with you, our address, email address is on that. So you won't have to remember. It's on there. You can get a hold of me. But I need to hear from you in the next couple weeks. We'll continue to talk about this to different subgroups of the Rock. We talked to the leaders not too long ago, and they were fairly positive, but that doesn't mean we're going to do it. And I just want you to know, I'm not saying we're going to do it. We're trying to get your feedback as to whether or not it'd be a good idea to do. All right. Enough for announcements. Do you ever feel like you're going through life and you're kind of hitting your head against the wall? The wall's called life. And things just don't seem to be working out quite the way you would hope they would. I've been thinking about this, the number of conversations that I've had with people, even as I look back over my years of ministry, and I find that so many of the topics that people ask me about, or the questions, are the same issues over and over and over again. And I find that quite often people have a difficult time making life work for them. It's kind of like life to them is a computer that has to be put together from scratch, and they're not very technically savvy, but they know they need the computer to function, and so they're trying. Every week they get home from work and they try to work on a little more, try to get it put together, try to do something with it, but it's just not quite getting there. So it's frustrating. Any of you ever tried to use your computer when it's supposed to work and it doesn't, or it freezes on you, or crashes on you, or loses something that was very important? You know that's frustrating. But it's even more frustrating when life is not working the way it was supposed to. About 12 years ago, my car, all of a sudden, it would start one day and then it wouldn't start. And it would start and it wouldn't start. Kind of off and on kind of a thing. And so I was in the auto business, but I wasn't really a mechanic. So I thought I would self-diagnose this thing for me. So one Saturday, I was dinking around a little bit on the car and I said, you know what? I'm sure it needs a new starter. The problem is a starter. Sometimes it will kick over and sometimes it won't. So it was cold, and I knew that if I didn't take care of it now, it would just get worse. And I was very poor, and I knew, you know, I don't want to have this car towed and be stuck somewhere in the snow and have to have pay a mechanic $250 to fix it. So I went, and I picked up a starter auto parts store. I spent the next 5 hours laying on my back in the cold trying to get this starter out. I did what you're never supposed to do. I used the car jack without jack stands or anything else, risked my life. I did put a few bricks under the tires, but I was hoping, you know, it would fall on me. 5 hours later, I get this new starter put on, and I am so proud of myself, man. It's just that sense of accomplishment, even though my knuckles were skinned up and my hands were numb. And I get out from under that car, and I jump up. I just cannot wait to hear the purr of that engine. So I get inside the car, and I sit down, and I put the key in, and I turn it over, and click, click, and nothing. It wouldn't start, and I could not believe it. If you know me very well, I'm not a very patient guy when it comes to things like this, so let's just say I was very upset. So I get back out, and I put myself into the car again, and I check to see if I got the bolts tight and the ground wire on the starter, and, you know, went through all the things that I figured I knew you were supposed to do. 30 minutes later, I still cannot get anything to work. I'm just thinking, man, I just not believe this. This was supposed to be so beautiful, and it was supposed to work, and I did just what the directions said to do. So finally, Smart Mark decides to go down to a couple trailers down, knocked on a friend's house who happens to work on cars for a living. He happened to be home, so I asked him if he'd come up and look at the car, and I kind of ran through in a couple minutes what he'd done and what he'd been doing, and he goes, okay, so he lifts up the hood. He looks over the engine, and he goes over to my battery, and he wiggles the wire and pulls it off without a wrench or anything. He goes, well, you see this, Mark? First of all, it shouldn't have come off. Secondly, you see in that wire? I looked in the wire. The plastic coating was kind of ripped back. He goes, you see all that corrosion in there? He said, it's your problem. You got a dirty cable. We need to clean it. I said, you have to be kidding me. He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, actually, you know, we could spend $4 and put a new one on, but I'll just clean it up for you. So he strips the wire back and cleans it up, takes a wire brush to it, takes a little pocket knife, a little sandpaper, sands the inside of the connector that goes over the post, sands the post off, sticks that baby back on, tightens it up. He says, okay, go try it. Bum, 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 starts right up. I'm thinking to myself, I won't say what I was thinking, but it wasn't very nice stuff. And I'm thinking, I just spent 5 hours of my time on my back, freezing my little, literally, behind off. And I didn't even need a starter that I spent $80 that I don't really have for. So then I thought, all right, well, to make this pain a little less, I'm going to use my old starter. Because he told me, and chances are that one's good. So the next 3 hours took me a little less this time because I learned a few things. I got the new starter off, put it back in the box, put the old starter back on, and sure enough, boom, started. So 8 hours of my day wasted for one simple reason. I didn't ask anybody for help who just might happen to know a little more than I did about the car. About 5 years ago, I was with a dear friend and a bunch of other friends, a bunch of guy friends. We rented this RV. We went on a trip. So my one particular friend, he was driving the RV, and we'd pulled into this camp. It was the following morning. We'd got all our stuff packed up, and we had a really good time. So we were looking forward to going to another place. So he gets ready to back it up, and a couple of us are looking out the back window. We say, hey, you better wait a minute, post back here. He goes, ah, no problem, I can see it. Bam! Rams into the telephone pole. $3,000 damage to the rear end of the RV. You ask why? Because my friend thought he knew more than we did, who were at the back of the RV, looking out the window, telling him, you better not go this way. And he didn't listen. And he hit the RV on the telephone pole, and the telephone pole didn't move. But the aluminum in the bumper did. Needless to say, we made him pay for it. Well, fortunately, insurance covered it. The first life principle that I want to share with you this week is this. If you want to make life work for you, then practice for the rest of your life one simple principle. Get all the advice you can and listen to the advice of other wise people. Get help with life and you will save yourself a lot of trouble and a lot of mistakes. I want you to think for a moment. You don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to recall in your own life a time when if you would have just asked someone who knew a little more than you, you would have either saved money, heartache, grief, sorrow, a few hours' time, maybe a week's time, maybe some great tragedy that happened in your life. There's some passages here that I want to read you from the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to read actually from what's called the Living Proverbs because these are so direct. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20 says, "Get all the advice you can and be wise the rest of your life." Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. "Don't go ahead with your plans without the advice of others." And then Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31 and 32. This is one that I have underlined because I need it in my life. "If you profit from constructive criticism, you'll be elected to the Wise Men's Hall of Fame. But to reject criticism is to harm yourself and your own best interest." And then last is Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. "The wise man is glad to be instructed, but the self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face." That's the truth. Do you know the number one enemy of success in your life? Pride. Pride is the deadliest enemy of your success in life. It is the number one obstacle that you are going to have to overcome in order to enjoy your life. And if I can be honest with you, I see pride in all people. I see it in me. Males, females, of all ages. But you know where I especially see pride? Is in people who are between the ages of 16 and 27. Right in that age bracket. There is this, and I remember this, I was thinking about this last week. I was looking back in my life and I was trying to be very honest. Very honest. And I thought about all the problems that I had in my teenage years and my just beginning my 20s because I refused the advice of other knowledgeable people around me. I just was so headstrong, so stubborn. In fact, there was a deep vein of arrogance running through my veins that said, "You know what? I don't need your help, thank you. I know what's best to do. Besides, your advice is not my preference. I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. I'm free. And I want to express my freedom by being stupid." Wait, I didn't say that because I didn't think that was the case. I think about all the problems I had with women. And I had friends and family who tried to advise me otherwise, and I simply refused to listen. And to be real honest with you, I don't have time to go into all the stories tonight. I almost ruined my life. If some of the things had played out the way they were heading in my life, I would not have any of the children I have today, nor the marriage that I have today. Because the pattern that I was establishing in relationships, well, it was not a good one. It was not a good one. It was extremely unhealthy. And have you ever experienced a situation with a close friend, someone you really care about, and you look at them and you see them very differently than they see themselves? Or you see a situation that's going on and they're just oblivious to it. And you think to yourself, man, I want to tell them. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you've got a friend who wears this one outfit. And you think to yourself, now, let's just be honest. You look at him and you go, I love you. You're thinking this, but you're not saying it. But you just do not have the body for that outfit. You ever experienced that? You know, girls are classics with this, okay? Because what they'll do with their girlfriend is they'll go, oh, that's really nice. And it's really hilarious. You know why I think this is hilarious? Because especially young women, now as they get a little older, they get, I don't know what happens. It's magical. It's about, well, when they get married, it happens for sure. But usually about 27, 28, they no longer take their girlfriend with them to the bathroom or to the dressing room. But when they're young, they do that. Go up to Abercrombie sometime. Watch. Just stand and watch. I'm not making this up. Okay, I observe. I'm very observant. And it's amazing. You know, you're standing right there while your girlfriend's trying her on. Can't you just go, gee, Sal, I don't know what to tell you, but you know, you're pudgy. It just doesn't compliment your body. No, you don't say something like that, do you? You let them walk out because it's like, well, it's fashionable. It's trendy. You know how it is, guys. Guys will never tell you you got food hanging in your mustache, or I won't say other weird things, but, you know, you go on a date and then the girl will go, yeah, right there. Just, it's dried on your face. It's amazing. You know, guy room, it just lets the guy walk off. You know, just go. Now it wouldn't be so bad, to be honest. It wouldn't be so bad if all we were talking about was a little dried stuff on your face. But when your friend has a serious alcohol problem, when your friend has a serious habitual relationship problem, when your friend has a serious money problem, and they just keep spending beyond their means and spending beyond their means, but you're afraid to tell them. You know why you're afraid? Friends, can I just tell you why most of us are afraid of each other? Because we don't believe Proverbs. We don't believe that what really matters is God's hall of fame and not man's. And God's hall of fame says, if you will listen to constructive criticism, you'll be elected to the wise men's hall of fame. If you don't, you're a fool. Now I want to tell you why I carry this little book around. I've been carrying this little book around with me for 25 years. And I have all the verses on reproof, correction, and accepting criticism underlined in red. Do you know why? Because I was a fool for a lot of years. Because I had constantly remind myself that, Mark, a wise man is not a man or woman who knows everything. A wise man or woman is the individual knowing they don't know everything and completely willing for feedback. Completely willing for you to say, hey, Mark, here's an idea for you. Hey, I need some advice. You would not believe the things of the last 25 years that I've gotten counsel about. Even to this day, that I still get advice about, that I ask people about, friends of mine about, who are good at something and who are wise. Those two things are really important, that they're good at it and that they're wise. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment, what kind of person to get advice from, because, you know, there's always the person, you go to your friends and they're the yes friends. Yeah. Oh, great idea. Yeah, sure. And that's the exact reason you went to them to ask them. Because you know they're going to hold your little hand and go, oh, that's a great idea. Now, we all need friends like that in our lives. We also need friends in our life who go, well, you know, have you thought about this? I don't want to hear that. Well, I know you don't, but have you thought about it? Have you thought you're going out to get that new car? Nothing wrong with the new car. Have you thought about, though, let's see, you've got this debt to pay, you've got that debt to pay, you've got this, but it's 0% interest. That doesn't matter. You have all these other bills. You don't really have the money. Oh, I don't want to hear that. We've all been that way. I've been that way. But if you want to make life work, then never forget this. Humility is your single greatest asset for making life work. Humility is the single greatest asset for making life work. I want you to imagine for a moment that You have a friend who can see into the future, or that you could see into the future, and tell you before it happens what's going to occur. Would you want to know? Imagine the pain that could be avoided if you had a friend who could look down the road for you and say, you know, I wouldn't make that choice because that choice is going to lead you here, then there, then here. And you look at him going, how did you know that? Let me share with you how. It's found in Proverbs chapter 13. And it says this. The advice from a wise person refreshes you like water from a mountain spring. Those accepting it become aware of the pitfalls ahead. That is the tremendous advantage of advice. It allows you to be aware of what has not yet occurred, but what often most certainly will occur. For example, maybe you have friends that know things you don't. I have a lot of friends that know things I don't. When I was thinking of buying a guitar for my son for his birthday, I wanted to get a really good guitar. So I called a friend, two friends, who play, who know a lot about acoustic guitars. I asked them for their advice. I asked them where they would recommend I go. I asked them if they knew a person in the industry that I could talk with. Sure enough, they recommended me to a guy. I talked with him. And I felt like, through getting that counsel and praying about it, talking with this man, I got a really good guitar. When I went to buy an electric guitar for my little son, you know, when you walk into a music store, there's a lot of very cool-looking guitars. Let me say, I'm attracted to looks as much as anybody else. But looks don't mean squat if the guitar didn't have a good reputation. So I asked my friend, okay, what he's a very, very good guitar player. What kind of electric guitar should I get? What kind of things should I get to go with it? So he told me. I followed his advice. When I went to buy a house, I've only owned a house for 2.5 years. Though I'm kind of an old guy, never owned a house before. Never bought one before. So I had six of my friends in a room after one of my pastor's meetings. All of them are very, very good with finances. Very, very, very good with finances. So I asked them all. I said, here's my situation. I don't really have a down payment, but I have money in a 403B plan. I can get it out for a hardship clause. Is it your advice that I should take it out, or would it be better to leave it in? And I weighed out the options. I called Chris Pancras, who is Chef Pierre. You can get his autograph, by the way, after the service if you'd like. Actually, he's not really a great cook, but he is a good financial person. So I called Chris and I asked him for his advice. I said, here's what I'm weighing out. What would you advise me to do? Believe it or not, they saw the future. It was one of the best decisions I ever made because the stock market, as you know, is tanked. The housing market has gone through the roof. So the house that I bought just 2 years ago has already increased $50,000 when I had it reassessed for its value to refinance it. I didn't know that was going to happen. I probably wouldn't have done that on my own, but I got the advice of others around me. I've been doing that all my life. I've done over 100 conferences myself, but I've attended probably twice as many during my married life. And many of them were marriage conferences. Why do I go? To learn. To learn. I'm hungry for more. I want to know because I don't want my life to crash. I want it to work. Maybe friends have experienced things you haven't. Have you ever thought about that? Believe it or not, I've experienced a lot of things you haven't. Just because, by the luck of the draw, I was born sooner. That's all. I'm not excited about the fact that I'm older, but I am. And what usually comes with age comes a little more experience, some of it good and some of it bad. We can pass it on to each other, and we can save each other a lot of trouble. Maybe you have friends that see things you don't. When I was contemplating the rock, all the things with the rock, to be honest, a lot of it was my brainchild. God, through me. I'm just a conduit. And I was sitting writing things down on paper. I experimented on other people. I got other people's advice as I assessed my own gifts. I said, you know, I wonder sometimes, am I effective with young people or not? I seem to get invited to a lot of conferences. I speak to a lot of young people. But I want to know what you guys think. And I ask women who are around me, who also know me well. I asked them what they thought of the name and what they thought of the colors. And I got advice from an artist. Because I know that people see things that I don't see. My family sees things in me that I don't see. It's an amazing phenomenon. You can look in the mirror of self, self-evaluation, and miss many of the things that other people see around you. So I ask. Maybe they understand things that you have yet to discover that you don't understand. I was with a friend this summer. I don't understand a lot about computers. My friend is one of 16 people. He recently became a pastor 2 years ago. He left a $200,000 a year job because he's one of 16 people who knows how to do what he was doing. So I had him explain to me all about computer chips. Basically, he said to me, he said, Mark, all a chip is a switch. The more expensive the chip, the more switches are in that chip. And they just overlay it in silicon. All these little strands. They overlay them. That's what cost all the millions of dollars of investment to figure out how to overlay them and overlay them and overlay them. I was thinking, are you serious? That's all they are, Mark. It's a fancy switch. Fancy switch that tells that computer, allows it to switch on all these things really, really fast. And the more switches, the more expensive the computer is. So he's explaining to me all these complex stuff. This simple guy with crackers and pieces of water and toothpicks on a table. Because he understands things that I don't understand. Getting advice helps you know and see the future before it actually happens. It's going to take humility and courage to take the advice that you're given and use it. Always remember this. It does no good to just hear advice if you're not going to do anything with it. Now, people have asked me, so Mark, what kind of people should I go to for advice? Here's a little measuring stick. Always check the fruit. Always check the fruit of their life. If there's bad fruit in their life, do not get their advice. Simply learn from the bad fruit in their life not to do what they're doing. But you need to learn to go to people who are genuinely wise, who have spiritual insight, who have life insight, and who are trying to live their life in an upright manner. I'm not going to go to Billy Bob Thornton for marriage advice. The man and woman who wrote the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and then the woman who does the seminars, Making Love Work, they're not together anymore. Evidently, the theories didn't work too well. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go to the advice of a person who says one thing, but their life is something completely different. But when their life matches their words and their words and life match the counsel of God, I'm all ears. I want to learn. I want to hear. I want to end by reading you a couple of verses on pride. And I want you to think about these. Proverbs 18:12. Pride ends in destruction. Humility ends in honor. Proverbs 11:2. Proud men end in shame, but the humble person becomes wise. Proverbs 10:8. The wise man loves to be instructed, but a self-sufficient fool falls flat on their face. Proverbs 12:15. A fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Closing, I want you to know I could tell you story after story tonight of not just one or two people, but many, many people who have come my way in the last 16 years. They've come for advice. They've called on the phone. And they've asked me for advice. I've had people ask for marriage advice, that is, thinking of getting married. And I'll never forget this one situation I had with this young woman. She called me on the phone one day. She said, Mark, God's told me to marry this guy. I'm so excited. I know it's God's will. Now, you're always over a barrel when someone calls you and tells you that, because I was not only your pastor, but friend. And so, you know, you kind of want to say congratulations, but at the other time, on the other hand, you go, I know this situation, and I can't say congratulations. So what do? Lie? Have you ever been in that situation? What do? Oh, wow, that's wonderful news. Well, I couldn't do that. So I kind of paused. She said, well, I don't think you think that's such a great idea, do you? I said, honestly, I mean, did you call me because you really want my advice, or did you call because you just want my stamp of approval on what you've decided? She said, well, kind of both. I said, well, because I care about you, I want you to know I could never give my stamp of approval to this, and if you called to ask me to marry you, I won't. I said, okay, why? I said, well, I've known you for this long. I've known this guy for this long. Here's what I see. And I happen to know the situation very carefully. You're being used. He's taking advantage of your money. He won't get a job. And fourthly, I'd be willing to bet $100 he doesn't know Christ. The fruit of his life is pathetic. And I promise you, as God is my witness, men will say anything in the heat of the moment to get what they want. You walk down that aisle and you are married to the man. The habits of his life is what you have now married. And I promise you, they are not going to change. She didn't like that. She was really mad at me. By the way, it's not fun. I don't try to get people mad at me. I want you to know that. I don't like to hurt people's feelings. I thought she really wanted to know. She left. 4 months later, got married. Had a child. 6 months later, he left her. She was destitute and alone and brokenhearted. All because she wouldn't listen. And I could go through the list of person after person, whether it's with their money or a career move. Or young people I've had who decide, we got married, but Mark, there's a really good job way out here. So they take the job. Nothing wrong with taking a job. What they forgot about was there a really good church? It was their first year of marriage. They're not around any friends. And if you think that you will escape the first year of marriage and adjusting to it and getting used to one another and all of a sudden discovering things about this person you said you knew so well that all of a sudden they have some idiosyncrasies that really bug me. And now I'm 2,000 miles from my friends. I have no church support me around me. I have no friends that I can talk to about this. 7 months later, they were divorced. It's so important that you learn to listen. Get advice. It's not going to cost you anything but a little humility. A little pride. But always remember, humility is your greatest asset and pride is your deadliest enemy. Next week, we're going to continue this series. I'm going to talk about making love work. We talked a little bit about life. Next, we're going to get into love a little bit next week. And then we'll move on to some other things. Because there's some things I see happen recurring over and over and over again with people in relationship. And they just keep hitting a wall. I'd like to invite you downstairs. We'd love to have you. We got free food down at Rock Cafe and free drink. And love to see you next week. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the Word of God, for the insight that it gives us. And you know, Lord, it's my desire, it's your desire to bring genuine life success to each person here tonight. There's so many things that we could avoid and so many wonderful things that we could experience, all of us, myself included, if we would just learn to listen. If we'd set aside our pride and our self-sufficiency and acknowledge, you know what, I don't know everything and I need some insight on that. And even though I think I know, I could gain some more information, some more understanding in that area of my life. I ask you, God, to bless us all with humility and strip us all of our pride. In Jesus' name, amen.